Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, it's time for Point Taken. Here are your hosts, Steve Scafidi and Kristen Bry.
Oh, yeah, happy hump day. We're not, I don't need the,
you're not gonna,
I'm not gonna play it.
We got, he's too more, our guest is too important.
And the show's too short.
Exactly.
From Milwaukee, the county executive, David Crowley, joins us in studio here at WTMJ. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. So glad to be here.
Welcome
with you
to Point
both.
Taken.
You say what?
That's the name of the show.
Yeah.
Point Taken.
Did you know that?
Point Taken. He's like, I don't know. I'm just here with Steve and Kristen.
Yeah. Ooh, what's that? What's that show?
Point Taken.
Where do you want to start? I mean, obviously, one of the things that you get credit for is your ability to kind of cross parties, talk to everybody, get things done. Obviously, the work on the revenue package in the past. And let's look forward, talking to state legislators about what comes next for not only at the state level, but the local level. So how do you make that formula work for you? County.
Well, honestly, it's really about building relationships and building coalitions. And so one thing that's unique about Milwaukee County is that, you know, we are the largest, right? But it doesn't negate that we share a lot of the same concerns and issues as other counties across the entire state of Wisconsin. And I truly believe that folks all across the state and the Badger State understand that a healthy Milwaukee County, a thriving Milwaukee County means a thriving state of Wisconsin. And so as we, you know, build upon our progress that we've made with Act 12, you're thinking about the public safety building. And those coalitions is coming to fruition even here. We had over 170 organizations locally and across the entire state sign on to a letter basically supporting our efforts in replacing the public safety building. And so we know moving forward, that's what we have to tackle, because as it relates to shared revenue, all counties are struggling as it relates to being able to pay for a lot of the state mandated services.
For people who are unfamiliar,
yes,
what happens in the public safety building?
Yeah, so let me backtrack. So we have a Milwaukee County courthouse complex, and that complex consists of three different buildings. You have the historic courthouse that people are very familiar with. Then we have the criminal justice facility, which houses our county jail. And then you have the public safety building. The public safety building is connected through a crosswalk that's connected to the courthouse. And inside there, we have all of our criminal courts, but it also houses our 911 call takers, houses our DA's office, the sheriff's office, and that building also has the old city and county jail that hasn't been used in over 20 years.
So it's just empty space.
It's just empty space. And so, you know, and the building is over 100 years old. And so when we look at operational efficiencies, making sure that we can provide those state mandated services, court functions, operating the jail, there are ways that we can save money just through building design. And so if we want to keep our jurors, our victims, our defendants, everyone safe that walks into that building, we need to make sure that we can replace it.
Ultimately, do you think this is a take down and replace or renovate? Because it's a historic building, 100 years old.
It is a historic building, but we have to tear this down and replace it. We can't cost effectively retrofit this building. Again, we have 10 floors of jail space in here that there's nothing that we can actually retrofit and put into there. And then when we think about the energy cost alone, we learned that providing a new building will help us save $40 million over the term of this entire lease. And so there are efficiencies we can find.
And how much will it cost to actually replace it?
Replacing this building currently will cost about $500 million. And so what we're doing is, you know, we've been going to the state, talking to legislators, and they understand how important public safety is in Milwaukee County and, quite frankly, across the entire state. And they want to make sure that we are uniform with all other counties across the entire state of Wisconsin. So we have looked at how Milwaukee County is very unique when it comes down to certain costs that we have that 71 other counties do not have.
And one
great example of that, thank you for that question, is our highway patrol. We patrol our highways here in Milwaukee County. State Patrol patrols all the other 71 counties. And so it will cost us this year a little over $17 million to patrol those highways. That cost is going to go up to about $20 million in the next 3 years. And by comparison, we are only receiving a $1 million reimbursement from the state of Wisconsin. And even when you think about the ticket split, right? If State Patrol gives someone a speeding ticket, a certain amount of money goes to the state for a school fund, and then it's split in half. And that's State Patrol, you know, patrolling. In Milwaukee County, we have the same exact split. even though we're patrolling those highways.
It's a great point. I want to follow up on that after the break. We are being joined this half hour by Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Lots more to get to on Point Taken with Kristen and Steve on 620 WTMJ. Point taken, Kristen and Steve on this Hump Day edition, joined in studio by Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. As a former local leader, I'm fascinated by this because I don't think most people outside of Milwaukee County, well, two things, either they don't know or they don't care, mm-hmm. that we push a lot of money and revenue out of this county
yes.
that doesn't come back to us. And you alluded to that problem when you're talking about the $20 million and we put out, you know, 20, we get $1 million back. Yeah. Why? That frustration, it was real as a local leader. It's got to be real for you as well.
Oh, it absolutely is real. And because we continuously actually identify other ways that we are just treated differently. And so the key point that we are trying to make is that if we are able to build this partnership with the state of Wisconsin, focus on those types of services that we know that we're subsidizing the state with, it'll give us the ability to actually build this building on our own. And we don't have to continuously go into the state.
Is that the only way to fund it, is basically getting money in this next biennial budget?
It's the only way to get it done. When we take into consideration Act 12, it many people may assume that it fixed all of our financial problems. It did fix it a lot, but it didn't solve everything. And so if we want to really make sure that not just Milwaukee County, but counties across the entire state can provide the services, state-mandated services related to public safety, it's key that we get more fair shared revenue.
And how, you have a question?
I was going to ask about, you always do your state of the county address, and you highlight the things that mm-hmm. that you think need specific attention. If you look at the state of the county, set that speech aside, what are you most proud of? What are you most concerned about?
Well, when looking at the state of the county, what I'm most proud of, you know, with my tenure, particularly my first term, is getting a shared revenue package done. I think folks need to really understand that, one, we were able to get the pension problem that has been hovering over Milwaukee County's head for over 20 plus years. We were able to basically solve that issue. It gave us the opportunity to actually bring more people in, find other operational efficiencies to actually invest in other programs and services that are not necessarily mandated, but contribute to the quality of life right here within Milwaukee County. But as we move forward, it is still the financial issues, the financial unsustainability that we have, not just as Milwaukee County, but as local municipalities because of the shared revenue formula right now. I think that we need to do a much deeper dive as far as how we're sharing those revenues. How are we making sure that counties who have these state mandated services can actually keep up with these costs, because they're accelerating much faster than we can actually pay for. We have a cap on what we can actually raise property taxes on, and that's at 1%. But all of our costs across the entire state, for counties specifically, are growing anywhere between 2 and 3%. So that creates that structural deficit.
And I want to point out, it's not just Milwaukee leaders that are complaining about
Correct.
This. I've talked to county executives across the state and even local leaders, mayors and village presidents, who are saying the same thing. You got to help us out here.
Yeah.
The shared revenue wasn't enough.
No, that was a first act.
Correct.
Of a three-act play that basically gets everybody on stronger financial footing. And as you work with the legislature now, the Robin Voss, the Speaker mm-hmm. of the Assembly, and the Devin Lemahues in the Senate, what are you saying to them right now?
Well, we're asking for uniformity, you know, because they don't want to treat us any differently, because no other county in the state of Wisconsin has had the state come in to help pay for a building. And you know what? I agree with that. And that's why we're bringing certain costs to the table to say we want to be treated the same. But in order for us to be treated the same, you have to recognize that we have been subsidizing, utilizing our local tax levy. So in the past, since 2020, since my tenure in 2020, public safety costs have grown by 64%, $80 million in the past 5 years. And in the next 10 years, we see that growing to close to about $170 million. And so $212 million for state mandated services is what we're doing now. And that's going to grow in the next 10 years to over $300 million. And so we have to tackle this right now.
So how are the conversations going? What has the response been?
The response, as to be honest with you, they've been open to the conversations that we have been having, because we're not necessarily saying just give us money. We are identifying real solutions and real gaps in funding. Again, it's not just the public the patrolling, but even when we think about the Community Reintegration Center, we have Department of Correction holds inside the Community Reintegration Center. And if I'm not mistaken, last year it was about $20 million that we saved the state of Wisconsin by having those holds in Milwaukee County Community Reintegration Center. But the issue there is that it costs us as a county $145, $150 a day to house these individuals, yet we're only reimbursed $60 a day from the state because that's what's in state statute.
Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley joining us in studio here on Point Taken with Kristen and Steve. My friends from the parks will not let me have you in studio, not ask you these questions. Mm-hmm. We talked about the public safety and all those costs.
Yeah.
Our county parks are our gold standard, basically.
Yes.
They're some of the best in the country, designed by some of the leading people who did parks all around this great country we live in. But they also have budget challenges. How would you describe where you're at right now? We've talked about making improvements on the pension problems. How are we doing with the parks?
Well, I want folks to understand that structural deficits have come back right to Milwaukee County. We've been able to have a surplus for the past couple of years. And what we've done is actually invest that back into those quality of life services that we provide, like our Milwaukee County parks. And so you're going to see more people actually out there taking care of our parks because of the investments we've been able to make. But if we want to see that more in the future, these are the types of projects that we have to get done.
Real quick, where do you stand on public-private? I was huge on that when we worked in Oak Creek. Where do you stand on those opportunities? You know, I think we still have the beer gardens that have the public-private relationships. Is that an area that's ripe for adding some more of those partnerships?
I think we're absolutely ripe for creating more public-private partnerships. Matter of fact, that's one of the reasons why we're in such a much better financial footing that we have been in the past couple of years or decades here in Milwaukee County is because of those partnerships. And we know that that's going to be the key moving forward, especially when it comes down to those quality of life services like our parks, like transportation, as well as housing.
All right. Let's take another break. We got one more segment with David Crowley, Milwaukee County Executive. Stay with us on Point Taken.
Hey, don't forget, Capri Communities Enjoy at Life Active Aging Symposium is here. Come by today until 3 p.m. at Elmbrook Church of Brookfield. Free event, free and fun, by the way, for older adults. I fall into this category, 55 plus, to celebrate active aging. You can hear John McGivern, always fun. Jennifer Bartolotta, big fan. Exhibitors, goat yoga, which I'll never understand. Speed friending. Big fan of that. Raffles, food, music, and much more. Make the day your own. Come by today at Elmbrook Church in Brookfield. For more details, visit enjoylifesymposium.com.
All right. Well, Steve doesn't understand goat yoga, but he was a big softball player. And I told him I was invited last year to our guest's local legend softball game, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. And I was reminded him of that this year. So I don't know if he's going to get the invite or not. I don't know if I'm going to get the invite.
I've never been invited to this thing.
It's pretty fun.
Well, we'll change that.
And I can actually play softball.
Can you still?
Oh, I'm sure I can. I played a lot of softball when I was younger.
All right.
Okay. In my younger days. All right. Got to ask this question because we always ask local leaders. I had a county executive from Washington County who's now running for governor, apparently. Mm-hmm. So I know you're not going to answer the question, but I'm still going to ask you. So when you think about your role as county executive, how does that set up your future politically? Or do you ever think in those terms?
You know, I'll be honest. I think, you know, when folks are in office, they do have political ambition. But when I think about the progress and the momentum that we have had, it has been great being Milwaukee County Executive. And I'll just be honest with you. It's been flattering to have my name thrown out there. I do think it's an unfair question because, you know, Governor Tony Evers has been a great friend to Milwaukee County, great governor to the entire state of Wisconsin, and he hasn't made a decision yet. But when you think about how does this set up, you know, I mean, this is an executive seat, right? And it gives me an opportunity, particularly utilizing my experience even at the state capitol, working across both aisles and being able to bring resources back.
More direct. If he doesn't run, would you at least entertain the idea?
If the governor does not run, I will absolutely entertain
appreciate
the
idea.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, and also, I think that's something that we forget that you, before being the county executive, how many years were you in the assembly?
I spent 3.5 years.
And four years
as a staffer in the state senate, so 7 years in the state capitol.
So how much do you feel like your success as the Milwaukee County Executive is tied back to the relationships you built there?
I think it's a good balance of that. You know, I truly believe one of my mantras, Teddy Roosevelt said it, you know, no one cares what you know until they know how much you care. And I think one of the lost arts that we've lost in politics and just in government is that there aren't that much authentic relationships. And so before we even talk policy, I want to know who you are. I want to get to know the different individuals who are representing their communities, because you were voted in for a reason. And I think that when you get an opportunity to build real relationships, it makes those policy conversations that much easier. And so the relationships that I've built, it's built on trust. It's built on honesty. It's built on transparency. So to have that between Democrats and Republicans across the state, I think is a great thing. But also don't take it for granted. You know, people are fighting for limited resources every single day when it comes down to the state budget. But I do think that there are opportunities for us to all come to the table, build coalitions, and make sure that when the tide rises, all the boats rise. And that's really who I am at the core, and what I want to do, not only for Milwaukee County, but for other local municipalities who are struggling as well.
We only got about a minute left, but I want you to tell me about building bridges, working with small business development.
Tell me about it. Great opportunity. We are creating a new position, business liaison, in conjunction with some dollars that we have received from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, working with municipalities, small businesses, entrepreneurs, as well as support organizations, and to provide them technical assistance, but also $10,000 worth of grants to help them fill in some of the commercial corridors across the entire Milwaukee County that may be dilapidated or may need some tender loving care.
Big one is food deserts. I always hear about that from my friend, Chef Michael Fecker. There's opportunity there, I think, for some people.
Oh yes. So if you are interested, you can definitely contact our Office of Economic Inclusion, our Department of Administrative Services, to learn more about that program.
Who qualifies?
I don't know that off the top of my head. I'm not the best person to ask that question to. But
You don't know everything?
Not everything. But just again, just contact our Department of Administrative Services and we can get you in contact with those folks.
I just want to say this because I appreciate you coming in and the honesty in which you do your job. And as a former local leader, I appreciate great leadership and you demonstrate that every day
in
the county. So thanks for doing this. I know this is... You got a busy day. You got a ton of stuff scheduled. And sitting down with Chris and I for a half hour, we appreciate the time.
No, I appreciate it. You know, this is a great opportunity. I thank y'all for what y'all do.
Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley doing a great job for Milwaukee County. Lots more to get to, including Ask Us Anything, Chris. Any question, fair game. So we have to. We're going to be asked the tough
hot
question.
Hot seat.
And no, I'm not running for anything. I'll tell you that right now. I like my current gig. She's Kristen Bryan.
Running away.
Yeah. There you go. She's Kristen Bryan. I'm Steve Scafidi. Got local news coming up with the great Connie Weber. And don't forget. All things, any questions, fair game.
Now it's time for Ask Us Anything on Point Taken. Got a burning question? Give us a call or text on the Siding Unlimited Talk and Text line at 855-616-1620.
All right, she's Kristen. I'm Steve. Point Taken. We haven't had an opportunity to do an extended edition of Ask Us Anything in a while. It's like all these Wednesdays have been short.
Yeah, I mean, last week was... very short as far as, because we had another guest last week and now I'm forgetting who it was. But ask us anything. So we got one out of the gate. Do you think the real objective of MAGA forces is to create, in reality, Pleasantville? You use that word a lot, Pleasantville.
I think I was the first one to sort of make that connection. I've done it for years, probably 5 years, because it's concerning to me. It's sort of the good old days argument, which, as those of us who study history know, they weren't really that good. There were some amazing things that happened, obviously. Women got the vote at some point. Those are good old days. Those are developments. But let's remember they didn't get the vote for many of the critical early years of the state. Set that aside. What do I think the intention of MAGA is? To get their way. And I think we have to be careful in how they do that. One of the things that bothers me about MAGA and this president, and again, I want him to succeed. I don't cheerlead for bad news. That's one thing I always tell people. I want this president to succeed. But... when I see things happening across this country and I see, let's just pick DOGE out of the hat of things that irritate me. It's superficial. It's not done with any real considerations or data in some cases of what cuts would actually make sense, would make us more efficient. Whether you're talking about NOAA or FEMA or some of the social agencies that are so critical to some people's lives. You may not like them. But there's a lot of Americans who depend on that stuff. So when I see people just willy-nilly come in and just whack jobs, not based on looking
performance.
At performance or need necessarily, but just because they could do it. What did Bill say? Bill McCaution, shock and awe. I get why you're doing it, because it makes the president look like a tough guy and makes all the MAGA folks just, you know, stand up and cheer weirdly. I think you have to think about how you do things.
Where do you think the overlap, like what's the Venn diagram between MAGA and more traditional conservatism? What's the middle part?
What is the middle part?
Mm-hmm.
I think a desire for small government.
Do you think MAGA wants small government? Because well, I feel like there's other spending that they're totally fine with. I mean, there's other overreach, my words, of that they're fine with when it comes, especially when it comes to social issues. That is certainly not a libertarian view whatsoever, as far as 10 commandments in school, the spending for immigration and deportation, kind of the Christian nationalist ideology, right? As far as just instead of just like letting people make their own choices and live the way that they want to live. So there's some much more, a much bigger government involvement.
Yeah, it's a fair
and
question.
I don't feel like there's not as much like small government from MAGA that I hear as a priority. And anyone in the text on who is MAGA, who identifies in that way,
yeah,
wants to correct me, please do.
And I always tell people you can vote for who you want to. And clearly Donald Trump captured something in the sentiment of Americans at that time last year when he was running for president that said, you know, that's our guy. And Kamala Harris didn't. And she wasn't their girl or their woman. So I think we have to recognize that the president has power in that way. And you mentioned some of the things like immigration and where those efforts are being focused. I think the president has to be careful on that. But because he said during the campaign, we're going after the criminals, you know, the gang members. It sort of devolved from that. And Tom Homan, who sort of leads those efforts, as basically said, you know, if you're in this country illegally, we're going to take you out. Mm-hmm. And we see story after story. Again, how you do things is just as important as what you do. And this administration and MAGA folks have to understand that if you really want to have long-term success, if MAGA lives beyond Trump, a conversation you and I are going to have on our YNTL podcast this week or in the
tomorrow?
Next 2 weeks. Yeah,
yeah.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
We're recording tomorrow.
Those things matter. We got a lot of questions coming in. We'll answer them best we can. She's
as
Kristen,
fast as we can.
Yeah, Kristen Bry. We only have a very short show today. We're out here at 11. Kristen Bry, Steve Scafidi. Point taken. You get the point? Ask the question. That's next.
Brewers and Padres action is coming at you June 6th through the 8th. Catch an electric weekend of baseball as two of the game's youngest superstars square off. The first Friday game of June means Wisconsinites can grab half-off tickets to the Brewers series opener on the 6th, then score one of the top giveaways of the season, a Jack Centurio replica jersey presented by Chevrolet for the first 25,000 ticketed fans through the gates June 7th. Get seats at brewers.com.
Hey, it's WTNJ Steve's Committee for Milwaukee Weight Loss. I've been on this journey. Yes, 40 pounds I've lost in 4 months. It's the secret, by the way, to losing up to 1 pound of fat. Every day, their doctors have developed easy-to-follow weight loss program. Helps you lose weight fast, naturally, safely. No drugs or injections with no risk of serious side effects. None of the gimmicky stuff, the meals, bars, shakes. You don't even have to exercise, but I would encourage you to get out there and walk every day because that's a recipe for a long life, in my opinion. Their program helps reset your metabolism so you can keep the weight off for good. They have coaches for ongoing support. The program costs up to half as much and works up to twice as fast. That matters. Go to MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com and schedule your free consultation. Many patients lose 20 to 30 pounds. I've talked to a bunch of them at Milwaukee Weight Loss. I did it. You can do it. It's crazy to watch your body lose that weight. Schedule your free consultation by calling 262-449-1180 or online at MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. That's MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. Results may vary. All right. Questions for Ask Us Anything. Just as I'm doing that, my screen flipped, so I got to get back to the Kristen question. All right, Kristen Bry, co-host here on Point Taken. How do you compare living in L.A. to living in Milwaukee? This is from a young professional thinking about moving out west, but they love Milwaukee in the summer. But winters here, totally agree, are rough.
I mean, they haven't been that rough lately.
No,
I feel like since moving back in 2020, the winters have not been that... I mean, they're definitely not L.A. winters.
No.
Or even San Francisco winters. But I don't know. You know, I think I get this question a fair amount when I tell people that I've lived in L.A., Berkeley, San Francisco, Brooklyn, L.A., and then back in Wisconsin with a semester in D.C. Every city was my favorite city until it wasn't. And I would say right now, Milwaukee is my favorite city. And so for me, what I love about Milwaukee, and part of this could be the season of life that I'm in, is the size of the city as far as being in these other massive cities where the rat race was real, The population is very transient, especially the younger population, but it's also very fun, right? And so I would say if you born and raised in Wisconsin, I would highly suggest leaving and always knowing that you can come back.
Yeah.
Because I think the experience that you get from being in other places is very, very valuable. You get to meet other people. But I am, the best move I've ever made was moving back, because this is the happiest I've ever been, the most successful I've ever been. Obviously, in my marriage, my kid, everything. And so it is a Milwaukee is wonderful, but sometimes you can't appreciate it unless you go other places.
So this is sort of a follow-up, but a different texter asks, if you had to leave Wisconsin for some reason, whatever that would be, what coast would you relocate to, and why would you pick that coast? East or west? Or south? East or southwest?
I don't know. For weather, west. But I still love New York City.
It's fun.
I love New York City.
See, I would
you just need enough money to live there.
I would go like Maine, or it's gorgeous.
But then once you're in New York, it's a lot easier to, I mean, once you're in the East Coast, it's a lot easier to get to the other parts of the country on the East Coast between, because they actually have a much better train system as well.
Yeah. For me, what is your prediction for the economy? I hope we are seeing an uptick. I always love Bill and Joe, because they're so politically fused together to the Friday
like
show.
Like their lens.
Yeah. So they can never, like yesterday I shared, what's good news? Egg prices are down significantly in the last month or two. And that's good news for, you know, household budgets, good news for restaurants, good news for the president. So I don't shy away from sharing, you know, great stories. But again, when you talk about the economy, there's other pieces here. And right now it's mixed signals. Some are good, some are bad, even on the question of inflation. We saw Jerome Powell say, yeah, we should worry about this. But we also see other groups, other organizations, other bankers saying, yeah, well, I think we're okay. Take the political filter off and just think about this stuff. What are you seeing? Whether that's your
house. How are you feeling?
Yeah. Whether that's your household, whether it's your company you work for or your life in general, whether you're a retiree who's looking at their, you know, their portfolio and now seeing some upticks where they saw some big losses after Liberation Day or whatever that was supposed to be. So all of these things are important, but I think we have to look at it away from politics. Bottom line, I don't think it's going to be a bad economic year. There's concerns out there.
So you think the fear of a recession is over?
No, it's never over. Not with this president. Because he doesn't even understand tariffs, and yet he talks about them every damn day. That's the frustration I have with this president. It's never over. I'm feeling a little more comfortable today than I did maybe a month ago. But you can mess that up with one presidential presser where he announces some new tariff on some industry. But bottom line is, we're going to feel that. Supplies are down. Costs are going up. Those are recipes for some later problems with our economy. Hope I answered that question.
Yeah, it was kind of vague. But you're also not an economist. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, neither am I, right? As far as your ability to... And even the people who are economists are not necessarily going to get it right.
They disagree, and they're experts. Fun one. What's your go-to pizza topping?
Supreme minus black olives.
What do you got against black olives?
I don't know.
Any olives or just black olives?
Just black olives, because I love a dirty martini.
That is good stuff.
But that's green olives.
Yes.
No blue cheese olives, though. So that means I want cheese in my liquor.
That's sausage, pepperoni, peppers, onions, mushrooms.
Mushrooms, yeah.
Just minus the
black
olives.
Yeah, what about you?
Cheese, sausage, mushroom, onion. That's all I need. Yeah. Every restaurant that I go to that has pizza, that's like their special. It's like, must be an Oak Creek thing. Are we known for that? Okay, so we got a couple other questions coming in here.
I'll answer this one. Kristen, are you related to Barb Bry? Yes, that's my aunt.
Oh, that's cool.
John, so she married into our family. John Bry is my dad's brother.
And tell everybody
Pewaukee.
Tell everybody about your famous dad. Because not everybody knows the story.
Oh, well, Pete Bry played for the Wisconsin Badgers basketball team in the mid-70s. He was there when John Paulo was there. Powell was there. Paulus. No, John Paulus. Did I say that right? You don't remember.
No.
And then his senior year was when Bo Ryan was his first year as an assistant coach. Is that what you wanted?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think that's a big deal. Wisconsin loves Wisconsin sports.
It's true.
I didn't go there, and I still followed them all those years. I kind of backed
away. They weren't very good back then.
No. No.
They were down. I mean, I remember, like, I think one of my dad's years, they only won, like, one game. And he uses that a lot in reference to character building and being able to have resiliency and bounce back.
Yeah. All right. So she's Chris and I'm Steve. Point taken. We got a fun one. I'll ask it. I'll put it out there and we'll think about it during the break. It's vacation season. Do you guys remember the first vacation you could afford on your own?
Ooh.
And where did you go? I actually have to think about that. We'll do that after the break on Point Taken.
All right, where are you going to be on Saturday at 2 p.m.? Well, if you are an outdoors person and really, really in Wisconsin, who isn't an outdoors person, then you need to tune in to our newest program, WTMJ Outdoors, hosted by Steve Scafidi.
How about that?
Because he doesn't have enough on his plate already. Everything from hunting and fishing to ATVs, boating, camping, and more. Join us at WTMJ at 2 p.m. every Saturday, starting this Saturday.
Yes.
Right here on 620 WTMJ.
This is sort of a passion project because I do a lot of stuff. I do a lot of podcasts, obviously the show. I sometimes go on other shows. I've been talking about this project for 5 years, and we got a great start. Paul Smith, outdoors editor at the Journal Sentinel.
He's wonderful.
He's an amazing person. I met him at a wedding. We started talking. And he goes, I should have you on my old show, and now he's going to be sort of a regular on my new show. Dan Trewicki talking about bow hunting and archery in Wisconsin, and he's got a great personal story to share. Lots of other great topics. Every week it's different. We're talking about cycling and rock climbing and ATV use across the state and UTV, utility vehicle use. Every show's different. Every Saturday, 2 p.m., I'm super excited about it.
Also as a podcast, so if people are not available at 2 p.m.
Yes, it'll be podcast. It'll be all over WTMJ, but I wanted you to know about it first on this show. I'll probably jump on some of the other shows to talk about it as well. All right, vacation question. Do you remember the first vacation you paid for yourself, and where did you go?
So I was lucky enough to work for a company when I was still in San Francisco, and we had an office in Amsterdam. And I had a team that I managed that was in Amsterdam. And so I remember, I think I was like 26, maybe 27. And I had gone on trips before, like weekend trips and stuff like that. But this was the first one that I decided that after I got to go to Amsterdam for work, I turned that trip into, it was a solo trip. I went to Belgium because I had friends in Belgium. And so I spent a couple nights in Belgium, and then I went to Paris by myself. And so it was like not only my first trip that I paid for by myself, but it was, oh, and then I topped it off with London. I also went to London on that trip. And so I just did, I bounced around on trains, on the train system. And it was a solo vacation paid for by myself, but partially the flights were paid for by my company.
So what memory stands out from that? Like, what special thing did you see or do that just like, oh my God, that was just like, I mean, seeing the Eiffel Tower was cool. I've seen it a couple times.
Eiffel Tower was cool. I think just, you know, was very surprising to me. So I'm not necessarily always I have to see the most popular scenic thing when I go places. And instead being more excited about letting spontaneity take over and kind of meeting the people you're going to meet and absorb the culture or whatever, as cheesy as that sounds. And I remember seeing Notre Dame and the line to go into Notre Dame. And I'm not really a big line person. And so I was like, I'm not going to do that. But then I kind of was standing around, I was taking pictures. I realized how quickly the line was moving. So I was like, fine, I will go in. And as a kid who loved the movie, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, the Disney movie, I was really overwhelmed with emotion once I finally got inside. And I like that soundtrack was in my head, but also just how many centuries it took to even build that building and the fact that it was still standing. And then obviously, and this was before the fire happened.
Yeah, you saw it pre-fire.
Yeah, and so that still stands out to me, mostly because I was just surprised by how kind of taken aback I was once I was finally inside. And then I almost didn't do it.
Yeah, that's a good memory. And I'm hoping, I was there when it was under renovation, and I'm hoping to go back because my wife loves Paris. Kathy loves Paris. And it's a great city. I mean, just walk around and eat at the restaurant.
It's a really
great city. Mine was an interesting one. I was graduating from college, went with some buddies from work, and we went to the Caribbean, and we went to St. Thomas and Santo Domingo, which is gorgeous, and Puerto Rico. Loved it. Best thing that the captain that greeted you in the days of old, which was 83. Hey, you guys are going to love this. There's like 150 women from Quebec on this cruise. We're like, oh my God. And every fantasy you can think about was available for all of us. All right. That's some honesty on the Ask Us Anything segment for this Tuesday. I wasn't with my current wife at the time.
Okay.
So
Okay.
You talked about Notre Dame. I talked about girls.
What does that say?
How telling is that? All right, we're wrapping it up for this Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow, 2-hour show. She's Kristen. I'm Steve. Point taken?
Point taken. Go Brewers.